Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's take a quick preview of today's docket. First, the family faces reality regarding Harmony Montgomery. Second, the band is getting back together. That's right, Johnny Depp and his favorite attorney. More Amber Heard news, a mother's absolute horror, a custody battle for a child with a weird little twist, and then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. The family of the missing Harmony Montgomery has been warned by investigators that the chances of the little girl's survival are slim after officers from state and federal agencies searched a home linked to her allegedly abusive father yesterday. Authorities have been seen removing evidence, including a refrigerator, from the Manchester, New Hampshire apartment where Harmony lived with her father, Adam Montgomery, and stepmom, Kayla Montgomery, before her disappearance. Now, after the search, Jonathan Miller, the adoptive father of Harmony's younger brother, Jameson, told reporters police had told them the outcome of the search would likely not be a good one. Authorities did not disclose what prompted the second search, but did concede that the home has become the focus of the investigation. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the case, Harmony vanished sometime in late November or early December of 2019, but police were only made aware of her disappearance this past fall. It's the second time investigators have searched the property, likely due to the fact it's linked to Mr. Montgomery, an alleged abusive father who, while not charged in Harmony's disappearance, has emerged as one of the key persons of interest in the case. We'll continue to update you as new developments come about. So lately I've been trying to cut back on my Red Bull intake because I feel like lately it's been a little more difficult to fall asleep. And if you've been a fan for a while, you know that I also don't drink coffee. So I've been trying these little bottles of Magic Mind. So if you're like me and you don't like the crashes and jitters that come from coffee and Red Bull, then you have to try out my new favorite caffeine hack, Magic Mind. I love that they are small and easy to transport. I usually drink them on the way to work in the morning, and by the time I'm at my desk, I am ready to take on whatever craziness the world is going to throw at me. Magic Mind also has ashwagandha in it, which works to decrease stress, which certainly I can use a little of. And I'm looking into stocking the fridge here with Magic Mind so that my whole team can feel the benefits. So they gave me a great discount code. All you have to do is go to magicmind.co and use the code CT40, that's short for Crime Talk 40, for 40% off your first subscription. Or if you aren't into that, you can get 20% off your first purchase. I'll leave the notes in the show link. And the best part is that they have a money back guarantee, because you know it's always about the money. Go to www.magicmind.co/crimetalkdiscount code CT40. All right, quick reminder, subscribe if you have not, like the video if you do, leave me a comment below, and hit that little bell so you get notifications of when we go live or post a new video. That's right, the band is getting back together again. Camille Vasquez will represent Johnny Depp again in another case that involves accusations that he allegedly assaulted a crew member on a set in 2017. Now, Vasquez, along with attorney Randall Smith, will defend Depp in a personal injury lawsuit brought against him by City of Lies co-star Greg Rocky Brooks. Now, Depp is being sued for maliciously and forcefully punching Brooks twice in the ribs before saying he'd pay the location manager $100,000 to punch him in the face back in April of 2017. Now, in Brooks' legal filings, the crew member slammed Depp over his conduct, alleging the actions were intentional and malicious and done for the purpose of causing plaintiff to suffer humiliation. Now, Mr. Brooks also claimed Johnny's intoxication and temper created a hostile, abusive, and unsafe work environment, which eventually resulted in him being assaulted by Johnny during filming of the crime thriller when he tried to enforce a permit restriction during a late night of filming. Now, Greg claimed he was eventually fired from the movie when he refused to sign a release, waiving his right to sue over this alleged incident. But Mr. Depp claims his actions were out of self-defense and says Mr. Brooks provoked the others and Mr. Depp. The trial is set to begin on July 25th. I wonder if it will be televised. You got to admit, for such a peaceful guy, there sure is a lot of allegations of drunken fighting going on. All right. If you want to listen to Crime Talk on the go, we are available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. If you'd like to, please leave us a review. Helps us climb up those rankings for sure. All right, some more Amber Heard news. More clips from the Today Show interview with Savannah Guthrie dropped today, with Amber Heard admitting that she absolutely still loves her ex-husband, Johnny Depp. What do you think? Heard also hit back at several moments during the trial when she was called out for lying, including claims that she faked bruising on her face and allegations that she tipped off TMZ as to when she was planning to visit a courthouse in order to file a protection order against her ex-husband, now Johnny Depp. This broadcast marked the final installment of the three-part interview that will be aired on NBC's Dateline on Friday. When asked whether she still loves her ex-husband, the 36-year-old actress replied, "Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely, I love him. I love him with all my heart, and I tried the best I could to make a deeply broken relationship work, and I couldn't. I have no bad feelings or ill will toward him at all. I know that might be hard to understand, or it might be really easy to understand if you've ever loved someone." Despite the actress admitting that she still loves her former spouse, she once again doubled down on her allegations that he was the one that physically abused her throughout their relationship. Again, it is that thing. If you have bruising, if you have injuries, it is fake. If you don't have any, then you weren't injured, she said, of claims made by Depp's legal team that she faked bruises on her face and that she was seen multiple times in public in the hours and days after the alleged instance abuse without any visible injuries. Heard went on to hit back at the criticism that she faced after it was revealed that she had not honored the $3.5 million donation or pledge to the ACLU that she insisted she had handed over from the $7 million divorce settlement from Mr. Depp, claiming that she had only ever meant to make the pledge over time. She also addressed her plans for the future, revealing that she now plans to be a full-time mom. Savannah asked about Amber's young daughter and how she plans to explain this situation to her one day. Amber says she's going to tell her the truth and be okay with it, knowing she did the right thing and she believes she's on the right side of history. And also yesterday, Heard's team was forced to deny rumors that the actress had been cut from her $2 million role in the Aquaman sequel. Just remember, every time Ms. Heard doubled down and says that, just remember, every time Amber Heard doubles down on her allegation that her now ex-husband, Johnny Depp, assaulted her both physically and sexually, that is a new basis for another defamation claim. But she keeps doing it. What can you do? What do you think Johnny should do to Amber Heard? Go after the money that's owed, perhaps? Let me know in the comments below. All right, a mother's worst horror. Illinois police said that they conducted a well-being check early Monday morning following a request from the children's mother, who is scheduled to pick them up at their father's house for a doctor's visit. Police found 5-year-old Bryant, 3-year-old Cassidy, and 2-year-old Gideon today inside the home. The father, Jason Carrolls, was not at the home, but Illinois State Police spotted his car a few hours later on Interstate 57 and engaged in a 17-minute pursuit across multiple highways until Carrolls crashed into a wooded area along Interstate 80 in Joliet. Police said Carrolls admitted killing the children as police and firefighters pulled him out of the wreckage. He also reportedly attempted suicide several times. Now, the Lake County Coroner's Office chief deputy said preliminary autopsy results found the cause of death to be consistent with drowning. Authorities said a toxicology report would reveal if the children were drugged prior to being drowned. He said there was no other signs of injury. Carrolls was taken to a hospital and is expected to appear in court later this week. Investigators have not said if Carrolls provided a motive. in the investigation and said they were unaware of any abuse allegations or if Carroll's had a criminal history or even a history of mental illness. The police did say, I don't know if anything could have stopped this or there were any early indications that it needed to be stopped. The police said, as we mentioned, we were not familiar with his family nor with the house, but I can tell you that they were all deeply affected, the officers that arrived on the scene. Tough, tough case. I just never understand how somebody can do that to their children. And next, we have a bit of a custody battle with a twist. Now, Krista Abelseth claims that a man named John Barnes raped her in 2005 after she got a ride home from a bar from him when she was just 16 years old and Mr. Barnes was 28. 6 years later, Abelseth says that he found out about the baby, but didn't want anything to do with the child until 2015 when he suddenly requested 50-50 custody. Well, she then filed a police report alleging the rape 10 years prior, but he was never charged, even though Louisiana has a clear statutory rape law that applies to anyone engaging in sex with someone under the age of 17. And Louisiana has statutory rape laws known as carnal knowledge of a juvenile, which dictates that anyone under the age of 17 is automatically a victim if they had sex with an adult, regardless of whether they physically consented to the sexual contact. The crime is a felony and punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $5,000. Now, not knowing whether the victim is 17 at the time of the crime is no defense. And it's unclear why Barnes was never charged after staking claim to the child and after DNA proved he was in fact the father. Now, Abelseth said she didn't think she could file a criminal complaint against Barnes after the day of the assault and only found out that the statute of limitations would allow her to do so through a trauma counselor. In her 2015 police report, she described how she was highly intoxicated when Barnes took her back to his home after meeting her in the bar where she had been drinking with friends. She said Barnes sexually assaulted her there, and she soon found out that she was pregnant. She let her relatives believe that the baby's father was a boyfriend. Despite filing the report and it being within the statute of limitations, Barnes was never charged. In 2015, he was given 50-50 custody of their child, and the pair have shared custody for 7 years. But this year, Mr. Barnes obtained full custody after complaining that the girl's mother gave her a cell phone. Now, Abelseth is now fighting back and wants to see Barnes prosecuted. The Louisiana Foundation Against Sexual Assault said that he had never come across a case with this particular set of facts. And he says it seems pretty straightforward that not only did a crime take place, but as a result of the crime, the person should not have custody of the child. Now, Abelseth has appealed the judge's decision, and there is a court hearing scheduled for July. Complicated issue indeed. Let me know what your thoughts about that are. Who do you think should get custody, and should Mr. Barnes even be allowed to have custody? Let me know. And next on the docket, our dumb criminal. Corey Lane was staying at an Economy Motor Lodge motel in Dundee, Florida, when he decided he wanted a nice, refreshing beverage. Well, Mr. Lane went to the Coca-Cola vending machine, but the machine dispensed the wrong beverage. Mr. Lane became enraged and took his anger out on the vending machine, repeatedly punching it until there was a hole. A witness called the police, and the motel owner told police that she would like to press charges for causing the $1,500 in damages. She told police she recognized Lane from previous incidences as well. Lane was hiding nearby behind a Winn-Dixie and admitted to punching the vending machine for not giving him his money back. Mr. Lane was placed under arrest for felony criminal mischief and was transported to the Polk County Jail without incident. Now, I understand that drink was probably, I don't know, what are they charging in a vending machine these days? $4, $5, $6? Who knows? It's outrageous. But you can't beat the machine up. That's called criminal mischief, ladies and gentlemen. Don't criminal mischief the Coca-Cola machine. All right. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time on Crime Talk.